Didn't he have such a lovely spirit today, and I have mixed emotions. I know God gave me this message, and so I'm going to go with it. The entitlement of my thought today is our testimony. You know, we need to have a testimony. The Bible says in Revelation 12:11, you might post that if you wish, it states that we are made overcomers. We sang a song a while ago about we're made overcomers. It states that we're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our testimony of past victories over past emotional, physical, and spiritual battles encourage us to believe for future deliverances. Jesus' blood washes away our sins, and our testimonies remind us of that deliverance. In a court of law, when asked to take the stand, if any of you have ever done that, we are asked to witness what we know personally, what we have seen and what we have heard, not what we have heard somebody tell us necessarily, but what do you know personally? That amounts to our testimony. And our testimony should be sure and true. And I want to talk to you today about our testimony. Oh, how we need one. Because, you know, there's times in life that you go for long spells of dryness. You go through all kinds of dilemma, problems, and if you don't have something to cling to, a past experience where God has come into our life and touched us, and when we got baptized in Jesus' name, Barry, and we felt our sins washed away, that's not just a cliche. I felt my sins go away when I was baptized in Jesus' name. I never realized I was dirty until I came up clean. It was such a different experience, such a joyful experience. And you know, that happened over 50 years ago, and yet I can still remember the feeling, the ecstasy, the wonder, the joy, the cleanliness, the difference being baptized in Jesus' name meant. You see, that became a testimony to me. And I went back, I've gone back to that testimony over the years to validate my experience and my experience with Jesus Christ. When I first got into church, talking about testimonies, we used to have testimony services. Anybody remember those? Some of them were really great, and some of them, I'm telling you, weren't so great. It was real popular. Almost each and every service you had one. Persons would be standing up, and most of the time it was most of the same persons. And many testimonies, many were encouraging and uplifting, but unfortunately, about just as many were not. Testimony service, to many, unfortunately, became a platform for those who primarily wanted just to hear themselves talk. Many times with the same redundant phrases and the same old stories. How many times have we heard, "The devil's been after me all week, praise his holy name." You get so tired. And if there was anything that was going to keep somebody from not wanting to come to church, that was one of them. But you see, Jesus didn't call us to be witnesses and testimony and give testimonies just to ourselves so we could pat ourselves on the back and feel like we had church. The idea of a testimony was to go up and to win the lost. That's the name of the game. But many a pastor concluded that the benefit, and there was a benefit, and there is a benefit to having testimony service, but they just did not justify the fact that they had to endure the ramblings of others, and for good reason. And sometimes to call on a select few whom the praise leader might encourage to come and to testify, if you picked on those same ones because they had something to say, they had prayed, they had sought God, they had studied the Word, they could quote Scripture, they could tell you about circumstances that would uplift you, and you was anxious to hear them. I remember going to Wabash, and I couldn't hardly wait to hear Brother Castro preach. He wasn't preaching, he was just testifying, but he was preaching. I mean, I would go, brother, to Wabash to listen to you, whether anybody else was talking or not, and I was disappointed when you didn't. So testimony services have a point and they have a purpose, but that's the reason why that we really don't have open services today, because if we picked certain people, there would be some people, well, how you come here picking them and not picking me? I'll tell you why we're not picking you, because we don't want to hear you. Now with a positive note. The first testimony on record in the Bible is recorded about a man by the name of Enoch. Enoch, according to Genesis 5:24, walked with God and was not, and God took him. And Hebrews 11 goes on to tell us why God took him rather than allowing him to continue his life here on earth. It states, quote, for before his translation, Enoch, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had a testimony. We're talking about having a testimony today. Enoch had a testimony. What was that testimony? That he had pleased God. Man, now that is a testimony. If we can say, if we can feel, if God has spoken to us, as God has reassured us that our testimony has pleased him, how much better do you expect? What do you want? Enoch had a testimony. We must quickly look at others throughout the scripture who had a testimony, and that testimony kept them going, because I want to impound in your mind the need to have a testimony. Because if you don't, sooner or later, without a testimony, you're going to fall by the wayside. It's going to happen if you don't have something to hold on to. But anyhow, we'll look at some others, but in all this, let me tell you something. I got a testimony. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, just like they did in the Bible. And I spoke in tongues, a language that I had never heard, didn't know anything about, nobody had taught me. And I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. I was laying in my bed, November the 2nd, 1968, at about 9 o'clock at night. This is how indelible it was. I mean, I remember the time, the day, the hour. And I was thinking about getting the Holy Ghost because my older sister had told me I need the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you something. My mom and dad, they didn't go to church. My girlfriend at the time was a Presbyterian who certainly didn't believe in speaking in tongues. And my brother was a deacon in a Baptist church. So speaking in tongues did not fit my social circle. And I was laying in my bed, and this voice, I'm telling you folks, it's the truth if I ever told it. A voice spoke to me. I'm not telling you it was an audible voice, but it was in my mind. You need to speak in tongues. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know where I heard that, but I don't want to speak in tongues. I ain't going to speak in tongues. It don't fit. And I had been baptized the week before and had that wonderful feeling of cleanliness, of that wonder of having your sins gone away. And I was kind of coming down from that euphoria over the week. You know how it is. It said that sometimes you feel like you're on top of the world, and then the next week the world's on top of you. Well, anyhow, I'm coming down there from this euphoria, this wonder of my sins being forgiven. And I'm laying in bed, and this voice speaks to me, and I'm thinking, I don't want to speak in tongues. And when I said that, that remainder of that glory, the remainder of the wonder, of the ecstasy of my repentant experience in that watery grave was gone like that. And I was back to my old self. And it startled me so much. I mean, I'm talking, I was startled. I said, okay. You know. And when I did, now I'm just telling you about my experience. God gave me a vision. Even before I got the Holy Ghost, he gave me a vision. And it was a marquee like at Times Square, and it was going around and around and around, and these English letters were going around and around, but I didn't understand the words. But I just started reading the words by like phonics. I'm just copying the words and trying to say the words as they're going by. And I was speaking in tongues. I was speaking in a language that I'd never learned. But I spoke in that language that I'd never learned because I was reading it in a vision. That's how I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues from reading a vision on a marquee in a vision. Weird. The next day, I went out in the garage and I thought, man, that was cool. I remember them people, that church where my sister was going, and they'd shout, they'd sing hallelujah and praise the Lord, stuff like that, you know, kind of Pentecostal type stuff. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if I did that kind of stuff. So I shut the door. Nobody's looking. Garage is off from the house several yards. So I raised up my hands and I started saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Pretty soon I was saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And then pretty soon I was saying, hallelujah, woo! He put it on me. I was drunker than a skunk in the Holy Ghost. You see, I got a testimony. I've held to that testimony. Let me talk just a little bit further, and then I'm going to get into the scripture here, but I'm kind of into it now. I'm feeling it. I was going to Ball State University at the time, and it was Saturday morning now, and because that was Friday night, and Saturday morning I was going to French class. And I was walking down the sidewalk to this beautiful kind of Gothic building that they had the French class in arts, liberal arts area. And pretty soon, now folks, you're going to think I'm crazy, but then if you really know me, you know I'm crazy, so it doesn't matter. I'm looking down on the top of these buildings. It was so real. Now I'm talking about my experience, okay? So just write it off as some kook, but I'm just telling you this is what happened. And I was looking down on top of these buildings and I was floating and I was praising and it was in wonder. I was, woo, wow, check that out. And then pretty soon I find myself down on the sidewalk, and everybody's walking by me, not paying any attention. I'm thinking, what happened? Was that real? Or was that a vision, or what was it? It was so, I mean, I couldn't tell the difference. That's how I got the Holy Ghost. I was so fired up about it, I didn't even go to class. Who cares about that? I went over to the student center and spent all afternoon writing down what had happened to me in the last 2 days because I was afraid I'd forget, and I didn't ever want to forget. I didn't have to write that down. I would have never forgotten. As a matter of fact, years later, about 47 years later after this experience, I took it on myself to see if I could distinguish, I could read again, because I'd never forgot. It was an indelible on my mind. It stamped on my mind all these words that had been going around. I never forgot every letter, every word. 47 years later, I'd never shared it with anybody. So I spent a great deal of time in study thinking that maybe I could figure out what those words meant. And after a lengthy time of study, I got real excited. I come and told Brother Cox about it, and he was excited for me. I was able to decipher what each and every word said and what I said when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is true. You see, I got a testimony. And I'm going to be made an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. And by whose testimony? Your testimony? I appreciate your testimony, but not your testimony. My testimony. Because I've got some personal experiences that cannot be refuted. Nobody can take them away. Come hell or high water, it doesn't matter. I've got something to hold on to. It's my experience. And nobody is going to take it away from me. Abraham had a testimony. He heard the voice of God calling him. He obeyed that voice. He believed that voice. His walk was directed by that voice. He prayed to hear from that voice, to make right decisions. He trusted that voice. God delivered him time and time again from his enemies. and even gave him a child when it was naturally absolutely impossible for him to father a child. Abraham had a testimony. His testimony was that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. Abraham had a testimony in all his troubles and all of the things that had occurred to him and all the battles that he fought. He could always go back to a former testimony and grab hold of it because, you see, he lived from faith to faith. And he grabbed hold of every testimony that he had in every experience of life so that the next one he could always go back to and says, devil, you're not going to get me. Enemy, you're not going to get me. I'm not going to fall because God has come to my rescue so many times. I've got a testimony. God told told Satan one time, he said, have you considered my servant Job? A perfect and an upright man, one who feareth God and escheweth evil. There is none like him in all the earth. What he was saying, he's the best I got. Have you considered him? When we look at the example of a man who said, yet he, though he slay me, yet with these eyes I shall see God. How could he do that? Because he had a testimony, ladies and gentlemen. God had delivered him time and time again. God had blessed him. He had faith in his God. He had a testimony. Moses had a testimony. Did I tell you I got a testimony? I think I did. God talked to me one time through a radio. Big deal, huh? People talk to us through radios all the time to encourage us when you turn on the channel, you know. I was going through a problem, and I was all upset, and I didn't know what to do and how to go about fixing it. Frustrated. You ever been there? And this voice on my radio says, what were you worried about last year at this time? What were you worried about last year at this time? That's what he said. And I got thinking, well, I don't remember. And I got thinking, well, hey, that makes sense. This is going to pass too. Because there's going to come a time I'm not going to remember this either. So I reached down to fool with my radio, and my radio was turned off. You can believe it or not. But I'm standing behind this holy desk, and God's going to hold me accountable for what I'm telling you. God spoke to me through a radio, and the radio was turned off. I got a testimony. I said, I got a testimony. Now, that happened 43 years ago. You think it's waned? Do you think that's not important to me? Do you think I just forgot it? Do you think I just put it aside as old stuff? I got a testimony, and I'm hanging on to my testimony. You need a testimony. Moses had a testimony. He could testify that God had spoken to him through the midst of a burning bush. He could testify that his feet had stood on holy ground. He could testify to the parting of the Red Sea. He could testify that he had a firsthand experience of saying manna coming from the skies. He would personally witness water flowing from a rock which followed him in a desert. I mean, that's way out there, folks. I just told you some way out stories. But here's a guy who had a rock that water flowed out that followed him. Figure that out. You see, Moses even saw an image of his God in the latter of his days. You see, Moses had a testimony. Why did he need a testimony? Because there was going to be people who would give him problems. He would run into all kinds of problems. He would be frustrated. He would be upset. He would have to deal with sin in the camp that he could think, how in the world could these people have done that? Even my own brother is part of building a calf of silver. How could you overcome that? Why didn't you just quit, Moses? Well, because I got a testimony. He had a testimony of what God had done. And he believed what God would do. Because he had past experiences that he clinged to. Did I tell you I got a testimony? There was one time, and my wife and I was traveling on Highway 20, going east and west in the state of New York from Muncie. And we was going back home, and I was in the service. We was driving along, and I come to this hill on this highway. Wasn't any traffic along behind me, thank goodness. Beautiful day. And I heard this voice. You know, the Bible says Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and will not follow another. But, I mean, think about this. You're driving down the highway and you hear this voice and it says, stop. So I kind of slowed down and my wife looks at me like, what's going on here? Well, I told her, I said, well, I thought I heard a voice and it said, stop. She kind of looked at me like, yeah, you know, you ate too many beans last night or something. You got a heartburn, buddy. So anyhow, I kept on going, and I come a little farther, and I hear this voice again. It says, stop! Well, I'm really slowing down now. Now she's looking like, ooh. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you can even think about that yourself. After a while, you think you're hearing voices, and, man, I'm going nuts. Yeah, I mean, you think, you know, you would like to say it's God, but maybe it ain't God. Maybe it's me, and maybe I'm losing it. So anyhow, I start going again, and I hear the voice a third time saying, stop! I'm talking about my testimony, folks. So I stop. I didn't care what anybody thought. Three times, he said stop, I'm stopping. Still ain't nothing going on. I just started off real slow, got to the top of the little hill there with the highway, on Highway 20. And there's this guy in a tractor stopped in the middle of the road talking to a guy in a pickup truck on the other side. If I hadn't stopped, we'd all been dead. You see, I got a testimony.
Yes, you do. Amen.
Testimonies don't have to make sense. No. Testimonies don't have to be reasonable. But the experience of God is not defined by reason. I got a testimony. Daniel had a testimony. God delivered him from the mouths of lions, and he had personally spoke with the angel of God after his fast. Daniel had a testimony. The three Hebrew children, they had a testimony. Do you think that happened and in the rest of their lives they didn't go back and recall that? That they didn't get together and talk about that experience? What did you feel? What was it like? What did you see? I didn't feel any heat. Did you feel any heat? Did you see any flames? That were on you. Did your clothes smell like smoke? Mine didn't. You think you could have possibly forgotten an experience like that? Uh-uh. Do you think that they probably had some trouble and trials in the rest of their life like all of us do because it's common to man to have trouble? Sure they did. But what kept them going? What would be the thing that they would always go back to reassure them that God is on their side?
Come on. Yes.
They went back to their testimony. That's where they went. I guarantee you they went back there. They hashed that thing out over and over again. David had a testimony. When David first faced Saul, he had a testimony. He had killed a lion and a bear as a young man with his bare hands. I mean, even Goliath couldn't have done that. And God's anointing was on him. He held to that testimony. He recited that testimony to Saul himself. Much later, David faced the greatest stress of his life up to that time. His own army had turned against him in the frustrations and loss at Ziklag. David encouraged himself in the Lord. How do you think he encouraged himself, folks? He sang a few songs, happy birthday to me. No. He recited his testimonies. He recited the times where he had witnessed God move in his life. He thought about the time when God delivered him from the bear and from the lion. He had something to hold on to. He had a testimony. What if he hadn't had that testimony? You think David would have had the courage? Think about this. Would he have had the courage, even though that he was the anointed of God, to go and to take on Goliath if he hadn't experienced the time when he grabbed a hold of that lion's beard and pulled it down and killed him? When he killed the bear with his bare hands? Do you think? I don't know. But I'm confident that that experience gave him enough faith to believe, because of past experiences that he held on to, that who's this Goliath if I could kill a bear and a lion by the anointing of God's hand? Did I tell you I got a testimony? My wife came to pick me up from basic training from the airport in Indianapolis. It was so long ago, it was called, wasn't even called the same airport it is now. I forget what it's called now. But anyhow, we had an accident on Highway 67 coming home about 2 o'clock in the morning, thereabouts, 1:30. And a tie rod broke on her car as she was going around a semi on 67, heading north towards Muncie. Car went off the road, sheared the wheels and the porta walls. Back in them days, I had fake white wall tires you could buy. Cleaned them off, went down into a ditch, came back out of the ditch. There was a telephone pole. She's screaming. I woke up. I grab a hold of the steering wheel. I'm right-handed. I grab a hold of the steering wheel with my left hand. Folks, this is the truth if I ever told in my life. I bent that steering wheel flat. On one where I, with my left hand, I'm right-handed. I couldn't do that again for any amount of money. But I remember it just, like hot butter, it just turned flat where I was trying to, because I didn't want to hit that telephone pole head on. No. Well, we hit the telephone pole, cut the telephone pole clean off, flipped the car upside down, came back down its wheels, and the windows blew out. And all of us got out with very little injury.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. You said, well, you know, those things happen. I know that. But let me tell you something. I got a testimony. God can deliver you. Paul had a testimony. He had seen a great light. He had personally heard the voice of Jesus Christ himself on Damascus Road. Others had seen the light, but they didn't hear the voice. He did. It was his experience. He had been given a commission by God. He had spent 3 years in the Arabian desert being taught by revelation what the other disciples had witnessed firsthand. They saw it firsthand in person, and he saw what happened to them and in, during Jesus' ministry by revelation. How long did it take him? 3 years. Why? Because it took 3 years for it to happen in natural. He was there in the spirit. Paul had a testimony. He had a testimony where he had been persecuted, shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, imprisoned. He was hungry. He was left in the deep for hours and hours. He had a testimony. God had delivered him from it all. What else are you going to throw at me, Satan? It really don't matter, because I can tell you right now, God has delivered me in the past. I've been faithful to him, and he's faithful to me.
There you go.
And whatever comes, all things are going to work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And I've got a calling on my life. And what is that calling? To testify.
Yes.
To testify.
Testify. Come on.
And that's what I'm doing. Because I got a testimony. But you know, there's, when God gives us a testimony, it's not just for us. He's interested in us as individuals, but he has a greater purpose that we have a testimony. So I'm going to talk to you about that greater purpose. It's not for us, but it's a testimony for his purposes. I want to take you to the story found in John 4. You need not post it. Most of you know it's about a woman in Samaria who customarily would go daily to a well, Jacob's well it was called, about noon every day. And she would go there because it was hot, and the other women didn't want to go there at that time. The reason they didn't want to go there, because it was hot, and she went because she didn't want to be around those other women harassing her. Because you see, she had been married, I think, 5 times, as I remember, and the man that she was living with at the time wasn't her husband at all. Now, it's easy to point our finger at her, but then we also have to realize that in those days, a man could divorce his wife quite easily, and a wife couldn't do that. So we have to assume that at least some of those occasions where she got divorced were justifiable, but possibly some, maybe even all, we don't know. But probably there was guilt on both sides of the fence. You find that in almost every divorce situation, don't you? Not everybody, not one person is just spick and span and the other person is dirtier than dirt. Usually there's a combination thereof, isn't it? Because we're human. Anyhow, I take you to that story. And the reason I like this is because God used this woman to create the greatest single revival of his natural life, of Jesus' natural life. He used an imperfect person to perform his perfect will. And throughout the scriptures, we find that God used the lame, the blind, the lepers, the harlots, the tax collectors, publicans. He even used the thief on the cross to bring about his purpose and to allow us to understand more about him. Amen. That's so wonderful because there are those who would say, well, I really can't come to Jesus because I'm so unworthy. Yeah, you're unworthy. Jesus. All of us were unworthy. The lame was unworthy. The blind was unworthy. The harlots were unworthy. Yes. But God specializes in using imperfection to create perfection. Write it down. So I take you to that story of the well. John 4:4 tells us that Jesus must needs. Okay, now, I mean, that's not like, I'm going to go, I think maybe it'd be good. No. He was saying this is imperative. This is necessary. This is very important. I just don't need to go. I must needs go through Samaria. Why? He was looking to establish a testimony. Not just that she would have a testimony, he wanted to have a testimony. In his favor to declare who he was and the power of his being and that he was Messiah. He was looking to establish a testimony of a woman who came to that well each and every day. Granted, he wanted her to know who he was. Granted, he wanted her to experience spiritual water, which when received would cause her never to thirst again. That's true. However, he must needs had a reason. It was past her own personal fulfillment. This lady had the potential to become a great witness. I love this. Do you realize that every imperfect person who comes, and we all are imperfect, write it down, who comes to this altar has the potential of being one of the greatest, if not literally the greatest witness for Jesus Christ that ever walked the face of this earth? The potential is there. He saw the potential in her imperfections, in her problems, in her past, and he was going to use her past for his glory. You would have a tendency sometimes to think, pointing your finger and say, well, I can't do that because I've done some illicit things. I've been a thief. I've been unfair. I've been a cheat. Barry, I loved your testimony because you have the potential of being one of the greatest witnesses that Jesus Christ ever had.
That's right.
Because he's going to use and has used and is using now your past imperfections to bring about his perfect will. There are people here who know you now. We didn't know you then. But I'm so happy that you're not just an acquaintance, that you're not just a friend, but you've come to be my dear friend. I love your imperfection. I relate to it because that's who I am, imperfect. Anyhow, I'm going to read some things here to you that I think may have happened. This is only subjection. I don't know. But think about it. The lady had the potential to become a great witness. She had the potential, when shared, to bring folks to Christ, to hear his words, which others did not have. Ever wonder why he picked her and not someone else, that he would go all the way to Samaria? Why? Well, to be frank with you, she had known a lot of men. We don't know how many other men that she had been with up to that time who were not her husband. But at that particular time, there was one. And I understand also that there was legitimate reason on her behalf that she could have been divorced simply because she was used as chattel. But I don't know. But think about this. To be frank, she had known a lot of men. She had been married several times, and the man she was living with at the time was not her husband. When she went into the town claiming she had met a man who knew her past, who told her all about her past, that's what he said. That's what she said. It probably worried some of the men who were part of that past. Think about it. This woman's saying, I met a man who told me everything I ever did. Whoa. There was men in that town who were part of that past. And they probably came to Jesus not because they wanted salvation, but because they wanted to know if he could incriminate them in her past. Think about it. It could very well have happened just that way. But God uses circumstances like that to bring men and women to him. They were imperfect. They were worried. They were curious, possibly. So we're going to go find out just what this guy really does know. And then when they get there, Jesus is not condemning them. He's convincing them. He's not condemning them. He's convincing them that he is the Messiah, the Son of a living God. And they believed in, the Bible goes on to say, for his own words, not just for the words of the woman. A perfect example where Jesus Christ will come to a place. We all have our own places of Samaria where we hide, don't we? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A place where nobody knows where we're at, where we can go and we won't be subject to harassment. We won't be subject to peer pressures. We can just mind our own business and do our own thing. We can go hide away, pretend the world's not there. But Jesus knows your place, your well. He knows where your Samaria is at. And if you have the potential, and I don't know if you do or not, but most of us have a potential. I just don't know how great. But if your life circumstances have dictated situations like has happened to this woman, where you know lots of people and a lot of people know you, it's quite conceivable that God is going to come to your well at your Samaria, yes, where you're at, where you're hiding, yes, and speak to you and tell you who he is and what he is and the promises of God and what he can do for you. And you're going to become so excited. You're going to go out and you're going to tell all the people that you know, just like she did. Doesn't say she went and talked to any of the women, because the women wouldn't talk to her. She went out and told all the men. We have the potential of allowing Jesus to come to the place where we're living, where we're coming to every day, to our Samaritan well. And Jesus is going to say, I've got water that you know not of. And you're going to say to him, what do you mean? And he's going to explain it to you. He's going to give you the opportunity to drink of the water of life freely. And you're going to be so excited, so enthused, that you're going to do what? You're going to go out and tell everybody you know in your past, all the drunks, all the alcoholics, all the drug addicts, all the good people, all the straight-laced people, all the bent people, everybody. I met a man who told me things I never knew. I met a man who filled me with his spirit, who has given me a promise of tomorrow that I didn't have before. He's given me a hope beyond all hope, a great hope. And his name's Jesus. Would you come? Would you hear him for yourself? I'm convinced that you'll be convinced when he speaks to you. The thing is, you might have to make yourself willing to hear things from him about yourself that you don't want to hear, that you thought you had hid. He knows everything about you, just like he knows everything about me. But if you're willing to come anyhow, he won't condemn you. He didn't condemn me. There's no place in the scripture where he condemns her. He just simply wants to use you to be his witness and to testify so that others will eventually have a testimony themselves because of your testimony. I'm going to cut it just a little short because we're short on time, but I got a testimony. My little boy, when he got, he's not little, he's 47 years old now, but he's the only boy I got, so he's still my little boy. I took him to a church from New York. We brought him back to Muncie so he'd be dedicated. Our pastor's was going to dedicate him, and we set up a dedication service. And you know, what's common practice, you take your child and you're handing it over to the pastor during the service, so that is a symbolism of giving your child over to the care of God, just like Hannah did with Samuel. That's where it comes from. And so Brother Phillips, our pastor at the time, he reaches out with his big hands to receive Tim, and I take Tim in my hands and I'm putting him in his hands, and just before I place him in our pastor's hands, I felt every ounce of his weight leave me. I felt his weight leave me. And at that time I knew that God had taken him in his care. And he had placed him in his pavilion. And I was as if I was taking Samuel, Hannah was, and giving him to Eli. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a testimony. In times when there's been trouble in my son's life, and he's called me and he's been crying, and he's worried. We've all been there. Hopefully you're a parent who's close enough to your children that your children can talk to you about such things. But you know, I've got something to hold on to. That wasn't just for yesterday. It wasn't for a week or for a month or for his childhood. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when my son got in trouble, I would tell God, God, you took him in your care. This might sound crude, but I said, I'm holding you accountable because I believe your word. I believe your spirit. I don't believe there's any change in you. There's no shadow of change about you. I got a testimony. I got a testimony. I hold on to the testimonies of God. Just 8 years ago, I was walking out of my barn, and we had a farm, and about 10 years ago, we had a farm, and we was going to have 175 people over for 4th of July. I had a big farm. And We had this trail going out in our woods. A big V, or a big figure eight. Bridges, and it was a nice place. I really enjoyed it. But anyhow, we'd had a storm, and I thought, I better get out there and clean all them trees and them limbs and stuff that fall down so the kids, when they're walking around out there in the woods, they won't fall and trip themselves, you know. Plus, they like all the kids like to do it in the dark with flashlights, you know, how it works. And so I get my chainsaw. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you my testimony. I got a testimony. I got my chainsaw, and I went out of the barn, and I was walking out of the barn, and just outside the barn, still underneath a roof shed on the barn, and I had this vision. Now, this is weird, folks. My vision was a cartoon. What? Man, Brother Merchant, we know you're nuts now because God ain't no cartoon. Well, I'm just telling you what I saw. And this cartoon character, kind of a stick figure, was carrying a chainsaw. I was wide awake, folks. My eyes is wide awake. I'm going out there. I got things to do. And in this vision, instantly I saw this chainsaw figure taking his chainsaw and putting it down on a log. And as soon as he touched the log, the chain broke, came up and hit him in the face. Whoa. Now, once again, you know, you think, is this me? I know it wasn't because I ate too many beans, because I hadn't eaten no beans. I didn't have indigestion. I get plenty of sleep. But I am nuts, so maybe that's what it is. But anyhow, I laid my hand on that chainsaw. And I thought, I got things to do. I'm losing it. You ever felt like you're just losing it? Yeah, maybe not. I have. The way I'm talking, you can figure out why I'm thinking I'm losing it. But anyhow, I put my hand on that chainsaw. I said, in Jesus' name, protect me, quote, unquote, because I got things to do. I go out on that. I'm out in the woods. I get to the first tree limb that fell over the pathway. I start up my chainsaw. I touch the wood, touch the limb. Immediately, at that very split second, that chain broke. But it didn't flip up, it jammed in my chainsaw. You said, that's just going to happen. No, it wasn't just going to happen. I took that chainsaw, I was so excited. Who cares about the limbs now? I ran back to the house, got to the barn, threw that chainsaw in the barn, went into the house and was jumping and shouting and telling Druthy, you know what Jesus did just for me? I got a testimony. And I'm hanging on to it, folks. And you ain't taking it away. I haven't forgot it. And I know for a fact that if I live another day or two or three, there's going to be trouble come my way just like it does with you. I know it. But I know a God who has delivered me time and time and time and time again. And he hasn't changed one iota. I got about four or five other examples here. I'm going to go on and get down to the bottom here. If you're sick today, are you willing to testify of your healing? Everybody wants to be healed. But how many of you are willing to testify of that healing? Because it could be that the only reason Jesus came all the way to Samaria and that well was because he needed somebody to testify to a city. And if she wasn't willing, and he knew that she wasn't willing, why do you think the probability would have been that he had gone all the way to Samaria to do what he did? What do you think? I personally don't think he would have. She may have been saved in a different way at a different time, but he had a reason. He must needs, because he must have a witness. He must have somebody who will testify. Joni, I think personally, I don't know everybody in here, and I don't know everything about your past, but I'm telling you what, you're a great witness. You are. If Jesus Christ is looking for a testifier, he don't have to look past your seat. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would say that about us? I'm needing somebody to testify. I'm needing somebody to witness. I want somebody to share this good news. If I were to heal them, would they be willing to tell somebody that I healed them? If their marriage is messed up and I would come in and intervene and work things out, would they be willing to tell somebody what I've done for them? If they're an alcoholic and they come up here and God delivers them from alcoholism, I wonder if they'd be willing to tell somebody about what God done for them. Now, I know God's no respecter of persons, folks, but I'm telling you what, there was a reason why he came to Samaria that day. He came to find a witness. There's so many more examples of in the scripture of where he, the only reason he did it was to find a witness. The 10 lepers. He sent them where? Off to tell the priest, show them what happened to you. Why? Because he wanted a witness. Scripture after scripture, event after event in the scripture shows us that the reason why God does things that he does is because he wants to have a confidence in you that you will share what he has done for you with others. I do not want to stand before God, even by chance, in glory, and not have somebody beside me that I had an influence over because of my testimony. I do not want that kind of eternal embarrassment. It would be an internal, eternal embarrassment to look around at your friends who have won souls, knowing, and they knowing, that you have no one to stand by you to say that their testimony had an effect upon my own salvation. So today, I give you that opportunity to come to a Samaritan well. That's not a Samaritan well, it's steps. I want you to picture it as a Samaritan well. You come to a place where God has specifically come to so that he could minister to you, so that you in turn could minister for him. That's why he is going to heal you today if you receive your healing. That's the reason. God didn't put this on my heart because I ain't got nothing better to do. There's other things to preach. If you come today and you receive your healing, God's going to expect you to tell others about it. Otherwise, for quite frankly, I wouldn't even come. Because I believe you'll be held accountable for not doing what he wants you to do. Stay right there in your seat. Brother Merchant, that's no way for a preacher to talk. Hey, I'm telling you the way it is, folks. Jesus Christ is looking for a witness, and he's looking for someone who will testify of him. And so he came all the way to Warsaw, Indiana, to right here on this place right here where I'm standing, so that he could tell you about a water that you can drink that you'll never thirst again. And he will tell you things that you didn't think anybody would know. And he will recollect in your mind, when you come up here and repent of your sins, you'll remember things that you forgot. And the only reason you remember them is because he'll remind you of them. And you can then ask God to forgive you of those things. And he will. And you can turn around with joy in your heart. And you can go out to that Samaritan city. In this particular case, Warsaw, Indiana. And share with you, with others, what God has done for you. So God bless you today. I hope that as I give this invitation that you'll come. But I don't want you to come unless you're willing to change. John the Baptist said, I'm only going to baptize people if they show meat fit for repentance. If you're a drunk and you don't intend to stop drinking, you're wasting your time coming up here. If you're doing some kind of illegal thing and you're not willing to change, you're wasting your time. You can go down a dry center and come up a wet one if you don't repent of your sins. But Jesus Christ, in His glorious mercy, gives you that opportunity today. Ask Him to forgive you. And Lord Jesus, not only do I want You to forgive me, but I'm telling You right now, I commit myself to share this wonderful experience that I don't even have yet with others. Would You deliver me? Would You help me? Would You encourage me? Would you come to my rescue? Would you rescue my children? Would You rescue my marriage? Would You heal my body? Would You give me a job? Whatever you need, Jesus Christ is here to give it to you today. But there are strings attached. And that string is He expects you to turn around and go out to your city, to out to your area, and tell people what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because that's what He expected of this woman. And on this day, that's what He expects of you. All right? So if you'll come, ask some music. If you want to come, fine. And if you don't, that's fine. We'll pray for you. There's people here who know how to pray. There's people here who love people, who love you. And we're opening this place to you to pray. But whatever you do, you tell God that I'm asking God, and You give it to me, I guarantee you, Jesus, I'm going to share with somebody else of what You've done for me. In Jesus' name. Ministers, would you come and help us pray for those? And if you'd pray for me, because I want to be willing to share what God has done for me with others. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Pray for me, brother.
Mighty God, Lord, as we come before You, Lord, we're just so thankful, God, for the privilege.